finding balance in life, right? The Lord loves us and He wants us to be what? Balanced. Now, I don't know if you can, I don't know whether I've got it across to you yet, but the general drift of that is, of course, being totally submitted to God, that you live a balanced life in all aspects of your life. And ministry is work. Ministry is your day-to-day living. All of us are in the full-time ministry. Okay? A lot of times it's a carryover from what is called high church, where the terms came out that there's the clergy and the laity. That's high church. That is not biblical. Okay, everybody's in the ministry. Now, it's just that there's clarified callings. There's different giftedness. There's people that need to be in charge. All of that. We understand all that. But everybody's in the ministry. And so to have a balanced life, your Christianity is going to affect all areas of your life. How you raise your children. How you work on the job. What comes out of your mouth. All aspects of your life are really changed after you get saved. And so it's a different way of thinking. You're living the life all the time, whether you're at school or where you might be. Now, where's all my? I got to see where everybody is today. Okay. okay. So we don't want to get imbalanced. When we get imbalanced, there's fatigue, there's anxiety, there's depression, there's a sense of failure and frustration. We do not have the spiritual power that we should do because we're living in the flesh and all the rest of it. Now, I talked about advancements. I know that I really wish that you could understand that many of our advancements have actually intruded in on our time. And I don't mind any of the advancements except for when they start to overload your limits. And I know there's only 2% or 10% that believe that they've exceeded their limits. But I have to tell you, in my estimation, I think that many, many people are way beyond their limits, physically, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually. Now, I'll explain that, because I don't think I've made that point clear, or maybe I'm the only one confused. By the spiritual limitations, what I mean by that is I believe that God has a will for your life. And His will for your life, He empowers you to fulfill. Okay? So in that way, God is not limited. I'm not trying to tell you that He's limited. Now, when you grieve and quench the Holy Spirit, well, there's going to be a limitation there, right? So He has a will for your life. What I'm trying to explain to you is that He'll give you all the power that He wants you to do in that day or in that time or, you know, in that. But what I'm saying is that we add all these other things to it, even things that might sound or look spiritual. And then you can answer the question, does He empower His will or your will? Now, if your will is His will, right, then we're on the same wavelength, right? But what if it's not? And I want you to think about that, the empowering of God. Now, and then also, He has gifted you, right? And we've mentioned several different verses that you've been gifted in the measure. And if you please study out that word, all that phrasing and everything. But let's say if he's given you the gift of exhortation, okay, and you decide you're going to be a Sunday school teacher because you like to, you want to be, right? Well, just because you want to be doesn't mean that, you know, I want you to learn how to operate in your giftedness. He didn't say He gave all the gifts based upon what we want. He says the Spirit gives severally as He will. He's the one that directs this, okay? And all I'm saying is you need to operate within that. I don't want to sound in any way that I'm trying to limit God and His power. But I believe we go outside of that, and that's when we run into trouble, okay? So there's advancements, and then we were talking about getting, we had some success with our physical, right? Many people are trying to get their life in order, lower their sugar intakes, change their lifestyle. So, and many of us need to, including myself. I'd like to even do it more than I do it now. I do happen to like fried pork in any form. I have to tell you. And steak. And, well, anything that chews. I like that. I like chew food. But that doesn't mean it likes me. So we're going to eat healthier. We're going to do some exercise. If your job isn't manual, right, then for your sleep to be sweet, you need to exercise your body. So what body? This is the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? And he wants us to, he has a course for us out there. Some of us, his course is going to be shortened because he has a short course for us. But for most of us, we are going to live the average lifespan in Canada. For these younger people, they are going to be, all of them are going to live into their 90s on the average when that another 40 years happens if the Lord tarries his coming. And so he wants you to take care of your temple. You need to feed it. You need to water it properly. You need to, you know, exercise it because it's all part of his creation. And so we're trying to be as healthy as we can for as long as we can so we can be active to serve the Lord until we've completed. Now, I'm not using the Hawkins as any kind of dietary. They've got good genes, I have to tell you, because I happen to know that Bob likes some foods that would, you know, make most of us fall on the floor. But the Lord has strengthened him. So here he is in his 80s. They're in their 80s and they're serving the Lord, right? And that's what we want to be able to do, right? And so depending on how long his course that he has for us. So we're going to correct sleeping problems. We're going to try to get the rest that we can. I understand, I don't want to embarrass Grace, but I think that you've been taught that you only need 5 hours sleep a night, right? 5 hours? No? Yeah. Well, good. That's good. I'm glad you sleep more than that. I thought somebody was having a conversation with you and one of your, some, or maybe it was one of the kids, the instructor said that all they need is 5 hours sleep a night. Was that anybody? Does anybody remember that? Your instructor, was it you, Helen? Yeah? Yeah? And that's what they'll do. But from everything that we know, that your body needs time to repair itself. When you're young, you can get away with something, but I can tell you it'll visit you when you get a little bit older. You need to get your rest. And we've had some success on that. But it's a hard thing. Changing your sleep cycle is a hard thing. It really is. And changing your eating is a hard thing, right? So we talked about spiritual and soul balance and getting back what we call the basic life. So what is a basic life? Is it out in the bush somewhere? What is the basic life? What did we talk about, the basic life? That's right. That's the basic, isn't it? Aren't we saved to serve the Lord? Isn't that that's the bottom line, right? That's the beginning of it. That's the basic life. But what I'm trying to tell you can live life in that more abundantly if you have that as the foundation and all the other aspects of your life grow out of that, okay? That you're thinking about the Lord. Because His ways are better. Not only is it better in the short term, but when you go to meet Him face to face, it's better in the long term too. Right? There is rewards. There is this empowering. There is strength that the Lord gives you even on this earth. So we need to get back to the basics. So that means that you have to unroll a lot of your thinking. I'm not telling you all to quit your jobs. I'm not telling you to quit school or anything like that, because several of us have made vows concerning those things. But you have to start again from the basics. And there's nothing wrong with that. When after I had crashed one time, and then the Lord was helping me restructure my life, I wrote down in the thing, how did I get here? I still have that notebook. I said, how did I get to the place that I would quit? How do you get there, right? And I wrote down many, many things, actually, about what was going wrong. And you might, so don't think, don't be in a hurry. I really don't, but you need to start. So you restructure things. and you have the Lord, what He would have you to do, not what you're doing by guilt or shame or any other thing like that, but what He would have you to do, what He has empowered you to do, and you restructure your life. It's going to change many, many things. It changes how, like I said, your whole philosophy, actually, of life. And so I'm encouraging you to get back to the basic life so that when you're 80 years old, you'll be serving the Lord with joy, and you'll be serving the Lord, praising Him and giving Him honor. Okay, so we talked about that, the things that hinder rest, noise, activity, overload. Dave told me this morning that when he's really under the gun and they're working you for the 10th day or something like that, when he goes to sleep, he'll start dreaming about working and wake up tired. So in your sleep, you've done a day's work. I mean, really. I don't know if any of you have ever had that happen. It has happened to me, too. So it's a preoccupied. Some are so preoccupied with success. And in the Christian life, what is success? Really, you know? You have to rethink this. And if success is, well, I'm going to get, all A's in school, well, that's fine to get all A's in school, but shouldn't it be to the glory of God? If you're just driven for success, then, it's not the life that God wants you to do in a secular way. Be successful with the Lord. Have good success with Him. So then we talked about, and we went on, and the spiritual rest is found by what? Turning our problems over to God, right? Worshiping God, living life completely surrendered to Him. And everybody thinks, when we start talking about that, a lot of people, what their mind jumps to is, oh, He wants us to be monks or something like that. No, in a way, you're going to be separated unto the Lord, but you're going to live life. We're not the type that teach communal living, and we're not going to separate ourselves so much that we're not part of the world, because who would we witness to? But we start to serve the Lord in all aspects of our life. We're trying to do that. And like I said, whether it's fishing or whether it's recreational, we're even going to do that right. How we behave ourselves on the court, all of that is affected. It affects our life. So I'd like to talk to you again. What was the memory verse today? And what was it? Okay, so godliness with contentment, right? Is great gain, right? Yes, and Corrine happened to say that loud enough. She said, I woke up this morning content, or something, wasn't it? What'd you say?
No, I said it doesn't matter because today I'm content.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And she did say it loud enough that I would hear it. Yeah. So let's go with contentment here. We'll go with a little bit more on contentment, because without contentment, and this gets into aspects of ministry, and I'm not saying to be content with mediocrity, but are we content, right? And so it's a different way of thinking. So if you would pray with me. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for so great salvation. We thank You for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God, for the Word of God that we have, that we can study and meditate upon and think about, and Lord, that we could get to know You better. And I pray now, Lord, that we talk about contentment, and then tonight, Lord, when we talk about relationships, I pray, Father, that You would bless. Lord, we need to change our ways, and I pray, Father, that You would strengthen us and that we would be determined to live a different life for us. In Christ's name I pray it. Amen. Okay, contentment is not just a good ideal, it's a command, okay? Let's go, let's start going. Well, 1 Timothy 6:6, we said that, but godliness with contentment is great gain. What do you think? Is he telling us that that's a fact, or is it a divine suggestion? I don't know. We like to use terms like that, preachers, right? How about Hebrews 13:5? Who wants to get there real quickly? Hebrews 13:5.
Let your conversation...
Whoa. Amen. But be content with such things as you have. Contentment. Okay? I'm not trying to tell you that it's, be be always, yes, I've got a 1968 Ford and I'm never going to buy a new one or anything like that. But shouldn't you be content with what you have until the Lord prospers you to do that? If you're not content, what would you do with vehicles and everything? You'd always buy what? Newer, bigger, and better, right? I had an uncle that bought a new car every year. He never had a wife, never had any children, but he had a new car every year. And then he got old and died, and nobody cared. I would be content and not let things command you and drive your life. How about Philippians 4, 11, 12? Who's got that one? Amen. And be content when it's the lean times too. And not be driven, right, to want that. Look what he said. I the Lord used Paul in a great and mighty way. And a lot of people like to find fault with some of the things he said, but it's by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so we need to be understand that. It is not a popular road, but at its end, there is one great treasure. It is godliness with contentment is great gain. And the Lord can see to what you need. We don't have to be driven all the time. But as I mentioned, and I don't mean to be harsh with this, many of us, the way we spend our money, I actually believe that unless I don't know your circumstance or you've been recently fired, most of us have all the money that we need already. It's how we spend it. Really, it's how we spend it. And we choose to spend it this way or that way. And contentment really throws a rock in that. When you're discontented, you're always after and you're spending your money in areas that maybe you should not. Godliness is the heart's desire that causes us to want to please God. It is being and acting like God. Contentment is accepting from God what he sends because we know that he is good and therefore what he sends is good. Now, I don't want to downplay that in any way, but many of the problems that Christians suffer with are not sent from God. Okay? Now, I do believe that God allows certain things in your life. Okay? He does allow certain things in your life because maybe you'll never learn them another way. But really, God's got good for you. Many of the things that come into our life is because we have broken the principles of God. And whether it be borrowing or indebtedness or other things, we've broken certain principles of God, manifested out of our greed or covetousness or discontent. And so they give us great problems. But contentment is accepting from God what he sends because we know that he is good. Now, many of the pastors here, they probably had a person say, yes, well, you know, things are real tough right now, but the Lord knows what I can take and everything. And we look at their situation. We said, well, you know, you went into debt. You borrowed too much money. God didn't send this to you. He's going to see you through it. But really, motivated out of our avarice, we've caused problems for ourselves. Paul was quite a mature Christian, wasn't he? Contentment is a life. It's a freedom. It is freedom. Not being driven by prosperity or wealth, but free to enjoy what I have given. Speaking of the Lord, right? Okay? Contentment is a life. It's a freedom. You know, I wrote down two verses here, but I didn't check them out. So let's see if it was my own thoughts that I was having here or if it really has anything to do here. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. But sometimes I write notes and it's like a personal thing for me, right? You know, so I gotta, and I didn't star it or anything, so I don't know what we're gonna find here. Ecclesiastes 2:24. It might be very telling or something, 2:24. There is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. In 3:13, he mentions this, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. And I wrote that down there with contentment, and you say, well, that doesn't sound like contentment. Well, actually, it is. You labor, and you can enjoy what God has given you. See, I really believe that it's okay. I believe that the Bible teaches that it's not supposed to be all work and no, you know, I mean, maybe that's the wrong term. All busy, 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 right? And that we don't even have time to enjoy what God has given us to enjoy. You labor with your hands. He has given you that gift. That is your portion in the here and now. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying that and praising God for it. But so many people are so driven with success and everything that they will not even relax enough to go and enjoy what God has prospered. And God prospered them in it, but they're not even enjoying it. So when God has given you and He's prospered you and you have this ability, then go ahead and enjoy it and praise God for it. Relax a little bit. You say, well, that's wrong. I said, no, I believe that it's your portion. There's nothing wrong with it. And a lot of times, listen, I was the same way, Tana. How long would I be gone? Right? I mean, I wouldn't even, if I was missing a Sunday, it'd be one Sunday. No, I was wrong in that. I should have, because God prospered me, I should have taken time to enjoy what He prospered me with. And that can be not only financially, but it can be your family. Isn't that a... You've got to spend time with your family and spend time with your kids. He's prospered you with the fruit of the womb, right? He's prospered you in this other area. Then enjoy it. And don't feel guilty about it when everybody says, no, you should be doing this or that. How many times does pastors get so busy that they lose their children? And church members, right? Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Be close to it, okay? Contentment is not pretending things are all right when they're not. You know, like, oh, I'll be content. I'm contented. Oh, no, never mind. Contentment is not pretending things are all right when they're not. But it is a peace that comes from knowing that God is in control. That you actually believe in your circumstance that God's in charge. Okay? That's contentment. And so Romans 8:28, of course, most of us know that verse. Who's got it? Has anybody got it? Got it right there?
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose.
Okay, there's a caveat to that, okay? It doesn't end with all things work together for good. It says all together work together for them that love God, okay, that are the called according to His purpose, right? And so we need to understand that God is in control. And you need to learn to be content with that instead of trying to make it. I don't know if any of you have in ministry, not just the pastors here, but people that minister, Sunday school teachers and all the rest, that you have a situation and instead of believing that God is control, you try to fix it yourself. I don't know if any of you have done that, but I have, and it near killed me, right? So contentment is not complacency. It is the desire to work for improvements, looking to God rather than results. In other words, that you're going to follow God's plan and give the results up to Him. You can be content with that. In other words, how many times do we say it, but how many times do we actually believe it? We say, it is right for me. As long as I'm doing right and following what the Lord is doing, then I need to leave the results up to what? Him. We say that, but do we actually believe it? You know, a lot of times we say it, but I think that we don't believe it. We're going to do, okay, things, the results aren't there, what I want, I'm going to, you know, push more. And I'm just saying that contentment is not complacency. It is desire to work for improvements, looking to God for the rather than results. And you're going to have to be spiritually led in that, because, of course, we can go crooked on that. Contentment is not a feeling of well-being that is dependent upon keeping circumstances under our control. I'll repeat that. Contentment is not a feeling of well-being that is dependent on keeping circumstances under our control. Rather, it is a deep joy found in trusting God that He is going to see us through that. And who's got Hebrews 13:8? Anybody? Okay, and we use that verse just that it is under His control. Who said that He would build His church? The Lord said He would build His church. And we have to go and trust Him that even when the circumstances are not under our control, we need to trust Him. Because He can do things. He can make things work more than we can. But so many people, everything... they have to be, they're almost, it's like they're driven to be in everything. And certain personality types have a tendency for that more than others, okay? Some are so laid back that they don't care anything, you know the world could crash down. And others, you know, we're like almost driven to do this. I'm talking about me here too. And so when circumstances are out of our control, right? We have to be and trust the Lord and that He is going to do this, okay? Rather, it is a deep joy found in trusting God, seeing Him work. And even in this circumstance, there was a frustrating time. I was a little bit distracted yesterday and afterwards I was a little bit wondering if ears were open. And I went and I had to get that settled in my mind. And the only way that I can get that settled in my mind is to come to the conclusion that I'd say, Lord, I preached it. You need to open up their ears. And then I can let it go and sleep. But if I try to take the circumstances and try to get people one way or another to listen, then it will not work out. I need to have that joy. And what did I say joy was in the Bible? In the New Testament, joy is described as what? Calm delight. It's not giddiness. Okay, that's manic depressive, right? You know. And then it could be yellow food dyes, red food dyes. Really, I told Joshua today. I told Joshua. I said, Joshua, no caffeine. Yellow or red food dyes are out. Okay. He had more energy at 11 o'clock last night than I have in my whole life. Really, he was gone, man. He's got energy. Contentment is not a warm, fuzzy feeling we get when all our needs and desires are met. But it is the security of knowing that we have all we need in our Heavenly Father and in His Son, Jesus Christ. I know that all of us are going to be growing into that concept our entire Christian walk. But it's not just a feeling, it's knowing that we have all of our needs met. That you don't have to make everything work. That if you follow His will and His ways, He will prosper you on this earth. And if He doesn't, that we know that He's still in charge. I wonder, really, now think of Paul's life. You know the list, right? Well, I was... scourged 3 times, what was it, shipwrecked twice, or I'd forget the whole list there. And, you know, while you're floating there in the water, you know, would it challenge your thoughts, wouldn't it? You know, but yet he said, you know, he trusted in the Lord. And many, many people, of course. And the apostles were set forth first as an example of suffering for people to follow. They were a spectacle, is what the Bible says. They were a spectacle for people to see. You say, man, like going to a movie, right? Discontentment takes away our freedom, leaving us in bondage to our desires. It destroys relationships with jealousy and competition. It takes away peace, robs us of the fruit of the Spirit, makes us miserable, and destroys your witness. When it is finished destroying your life, it will leave you in debt with no comfort, friendless, and miserable. You need to listen to that. When we go about proclaiming that we have a Savior who completely satisfies and then have a spirit of discontentment, we are a hypocrite. Because we're saying with one thing, the Lord is everything, but then in action. And what is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is an actor, right? That's what a hypocrite was originally. We are a hypocrite. And whether it's you or me, we need to do that. Contentment brings freedom, rest, peace, and gratitude. How many of you, when you're reading the Old Testament with the children of Israel and Moses, right? You start going through that section, and really when we're reading it, right? We're reading it, we're going, man, those Jews. I'm telling you, really, you know, oh, those guys, man. I mean, come on. He just did this. 2 weeks later, they're stoning him, right? You know, you go, and, you know, always complaining, always discontented, all of this other one. And what happened to them? So many of them didn't enter into the promised land, right? They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until they died, right? Now, why do you think the Lord left that there for us? For us, what is the Old Testament there for? That we, through patience and faith of the Scriptures, might have hope, right? That as an example, and we don't see it that we're just like them. And we need to be content and not mumbling, but to have the rest and the gratitude, the thankfulness, right? That's, you gave thanks, right? We mentioned it. The thankfulness of everything that God has given. When you wake up, when you think about things, are you thinking about what God has provided and be thankful for it? Or are you thinking about what you don't have? If you're thinking about what you don't have, that's a spirit of discontentment. I want, I want, I want. You know? But what about the part of what God has done? And He has done so much for us, hasn't He? Really. I'm really amazed. I mean, it's an amazing thing. The more we think about it, the better we get at it. And I have to tell you, in my own walk, I have to get better at it. Because really, He's provided everything that everything that I need. And I just need to believe that and then act on it like my life is at. Then I can be thankful to Him. But so, does your mind go to what you don't have all the time? Think about it. Contentment brings freedom, rest, peace, and gratitude. Time for the small things in life. And then our next section, time for relationships, because possessions and the bank do not own them. One of the things of Africa, okay, I tell the people that Africa, in many ways, it's so culturally different, and yet mankind is the same there. It's exactly the same there. And possessions have control of them because they have so little. Okay, they have so little. And that's not an excuse for them. So their desire for better things is great, right, in their carnal nature. But let's not be the same. Really not. How much do we have? You had the money to come here, right? Really, you had the money to come here. You had transportation. You have so much. And yet, if we're still coveting and greed and everything to reach forth and reach forth, that controls our life, and we cannot be thankful and content with the things that God has given us. Like I said, I'm not saying to be content with mediocrity, but I believe God can prosper you. Time for small things in life, time for relationships, because possessions in a bank do not own them. You're not driven. Contentment is not found in money. Right? How many rich people? And there are some people that can handle money And they can be rich and be content. But most of them always want more. How much more do you need than $1 billion?
$2 billion.
That's right. How much more do you need than $6,000 or $7,000 a month? And some of us that are living on a lot less than that go, wow, that sounds like a lot of money. Right? But how much money do you need? And if you get more, do you think that's going to give you contentment? In 1 Timothy 6:9-10, please, whoever's there already, or close, quickly.
But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
I'm going to have you read that again, okay? Because you need to listen to everything that it says there. It break it down into phrases if you can, okay? Really emphasize it for me.
But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
That's telling you a lot, isn't it? I mean, really, there's so much more in there. You can make a whole week's Bible study out of that and keep on going. So how far are you in the trap? How far am I in the trap? Where are we in this with our finances and everything? Do you see what it says that like it starts out with that covetousness, being discontent, the love of money, and then it errs from the faith? I mean, it says they err from the faith. And they go through and they, you know, all of these things that it's mentioning. Well, how far are you down that road? And you got to jump off that wagon, right? I think that all of us are somewhere down that road, including myself. We have to jump off of that, right? We don't want to get down to there because eventually, what does it say? You can deny the faith, err in the faith. Can you imagine? I mean, that's hard for me to grasp, but yet we know many people that this has happened to, don't we? Yeah. Contentment is not found in money. The wealthy have many of the same problems as the poor. They actually have more, but you understand that it does not bring contentment. We must realize that our relationship with God must come first, and all else is secondary. We must also realize that the possessions that God has allowed us to have are to be used for His honor and glory and the advancement of His kingdom. These possessions are not to be worshipped, as it is the case in so many lives. Okay? And worship, many people do worship their possessions. And as it is the case in so many lives. Contentment does not lie in what you possess, but rather in who possesses you. So we have to get contentment based on the basics. Now, so what's the difference? Well, let's talk about men. We like men. We like our toys. I don't believe there's anything wrong that if God prospers you and He gives you a quad, man, you could go with it and just drive through the woods and scare all the deer to death and everything that you want to do, right? But yet, when we are discontent and we want something, then we'll take that $12,000 that they cost, new ones, right? And you can take that and they would spend it and go into debt for it, right? There's a total difference. Both times you end up with a quad, but one is motivated by avarice and greed or I want it now, and the other is that you're going to be content and let God supply it for you, right? One causes indebtedness, one does not. And so I don't mind having possessions. I'm not trying to teach you not to have possessions, but let God be the one that prospers you following His will in His way. And it'll have a totally different effect. I make mention of my boat. I have a boat. I've had it for many, many years. I purchased it as a lost person, and then I got saved. And after I got saved, I asked the Lord, I said, because I did like to do things with it, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if this boat will be a stumbling block in my Christian walk, I said, I'll just give it away. I said, I don't want it to be a stumbling block. But the Lord spoke to me and said, no, you can use things properly. And you can. You could use what He's prospered you in properly, or you could let it control you. So we don't want to worship these type of things. We don't want to be controlled in them. We want to be controlled with the very basic that Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord in our life. Okay? That everything stems from that. From what we do at work, from what we do at school, how we play, the enjoyment that we have, and all the things so that we will be and learn to be content. Did Paul say he learned to be content? Right. So the natural tendency, even to a very spiritual man, he had to learn a lesson. And I think we need to too. So tonight will be with relationships. I pray that you'll be thinking about these things and the Lord will bless you in it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for loving us. And Lord, we know that You provide our needs. And Lord God, that we would learn to be content, trusting in You. Lord, You've given us the way in the Scripture, how, all that we need. You've said it in there that the man of God may be truly furnished. And I pray, Father, that You would bless us now as we enjoy the day. Lord, may we enjoy this day that You have. And Lord, this time that we can play together and build relationships. And Lord, enjoy all that You've given us and prospered us in. So may we be a thankful people today and be content. Amen.